Bonjour, madame et messieurs. Bienvenue à épisode 73. Je m'appelle Louise. J'habite à Caithness en Écosse. Où est la piscine, s'il vous plaît? Hello, welcome to episode 73 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a blather. What's a crack? Needles and pins section, the swap section, a me section, a Scottish segment. And we drive from Castletown to May, and the drams is a Speyburn single malt. I'll explain why it's being French in a minute. This episode was sponsored by my mate James, who owns the Oust Farm, because he supplied the drams. So I'll get your cup of tea and I'll let you know what your crack is in Caithness this week.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? Remember I was dropping big hints last episode? Well, now the big reveal. Ta-da! Open the curtains. We went to Disneyland Paris, hence the French. Mon français est petit, to say the least. But what fun we had. The Lightning McQueen stunt show, oh, was my highlight. Closely followed by the Mickey Mouse show, the Donald Duck stage show, followed by the Princess Aurora meet and Buzz Lightyear ride. Oh, you name it, it was Disney magic. Hobby isn't a big Disney magic person. He was slightly thwarted by the crowds. The expense, but it was good. It was a good family holiday and a very happy birthday to my little Sandy, who has just turned 7. Now the reason for all my craft delayed was because I was knitting like the wind, bullseye. I had a great idea at the time to knit 2 hats for my wee bairns in the style of Mickey and Minnie Mouse, i.e. I used a basic hat pattern taken from Ferret World's Yoda hat to get the dimension for the bairns' heads. And I kept measuring them randomly and putting Sandy's Yoda hat on to check that it was fitting. And then I crocheted circles for the ears, which didn't sit up properly the whole time, but, well, I loved them. And I'll better explain as well. We didn't tell the bairns until the morning we were going either, so that was good fun telling them. They thought we were winding them up until we showed them the tickets. That'll teach me to wind up my bairns. They don't believe me when it's the truth. I finished those hats at 10:30 the night before, and Sandy wore his the whole time. Daisy did wear hers for the first day, but then she went to a warmer hat because it was snowing and pretty cold and wet the other days, and Sandy had a black hat underneath his Mickey Mouse hat. So my life has been mostly Disney and Disney come down. Oh, but in work news, Energy Hunt were helping the blades from the wind turbines on the Wathaker site to be uplifted from Wick Harbour, and they were low-loaded up MacArthur Street and round the corner there and through the middle of Argyle Square in Wick this week. It's a square that you can walk down the middle of, but you're not necessarily drive down the middle of, certainly not with a great big low-loader Arctic lorry with turbine blades on. So it's not something that happens every day, and it made great photographs, and I've tweeted a few of the photos, but we've got some good publicity shots for the next newsletter. In other news, I was listening to Radio Scotland interview Christopher Hampson, who is a choreographer for the Scottish Ballet. He was very eloquent and quite interesting to listen to regarding the ballet, and they've got a new Highland Fling ballet production that they're doing. So if you're into ballet and you've got the chance, go look at that and tell me what you like. Then the presenter asked him how he relaxed. Well, I think she actually knew, but it was more of a leading question. So you do a lot of running and you also do knitting. Now explain the knitting. She didn't ask him to explain the running. And the people after the interview were just erring on the slight, oh, it's a man who knits. They didn't actually say that, but, you know, helpful. The way he explained it was brilliant. He goes that one morning he was, I think he said New York State. I was in driving and I missed a little bit of it. And it's on BBC iPlayer if you want to catch it. But he said one morning he was hungover and the only shop that he could find that was open was a yarn shop. And he saw the colourful yarn and he just sank into the armchair and asked the woman to help him knit. So off he went. He likens the patterns of knitting to dance choreography explanations. So kind of, if you think how the yarn goes round, you follow the way the yarn goes round the needle and the patterns, it's similar to the dancing moves, and he says it's how he works things out. So I thought he was really cool. On to the blather.
Now for the blather.
Found. Well, last episode was lost, wasn't it? and now we are found. After my holiday, I feel much more like myself, although we did lose 2.5 pairs of gloves over the weekend. We did find Sandy's watch, which I had carefully put in my bag. I couldn't remember where it was until we were on the airport on the way home, so I was quite lucky I didn't lose it. But finding things is great. Finding things that you've lost is really great. Not, sadly, my purse, which is a wallet to you people who thinks it's a handbag. It's not. Nor Daisy's little kitten teddy. That seems to have disappeared too. Nor those gloves. But I found, which I paid for, a lovely little tin with the Eiffel Tower on it, and it's destined to be my new Notions tin once I've eaten the sweeties out of it. I would open it and now even rustle, but it would just be like sitting in church when the minister starts going into his sermon. All the congregation is this. I think he writes that bit into his sermon. Anyway, sorry. Blah, blah. No, you're back in the room. How lovely it is to find things in your house, like your place in your script, that you've either forgotten or you've misplaced. How pertinent it is that means that you should tidy up and organise your house. Well, I mean me, mostly. But I reckon some of you might be the same. Not you, Coggy. You've tidied up recently. You'd know if I so much as moved a packet of size 2 DPNs. Never mind much help myself to your stash. I'd love to be that tidy, but alas, I am not. I own a Daisy, who likes to craft alongside me. And I do encourage her to express her crafty side, but she's not yet at the tidy after her Daisy self yet, and sometimes I don't get round to it, because she just untidies it the next time we go back up there, and once in a while I have a great big tidy. That's when I find the good stuff, like that Fair Isle book, or where I've put the hot glue gun sticks, because they're kind of a requirement when you've got a hot glue gun. I put my keys back in the same place nearly every time. I keep my handbag, my coat, the bairn's hat, shoes and gloves in the same place in the house. And every now and again, I reorganise them. I empty the handbag out of receipts. I make sure that the bairn's hats and gloves all fit and are paired up together. And I wish I could get this out of my head when I'm looking for my pair of my own matching black socks in my drawer. You see my point? I'm organised, but to a point. My email folder has things that go automatically, and folders that I can put things to easily. Don't actually always read them once they're in there. And I've tried to unsubscribe to lots and lots of the spam, or the things, oh, that sounds interesting, I'll put go into that, and then end up with thousands and thousands of them emails. I have a calendar with a yearly planner of it, that things that need attending to that month, i.e. car insurance in 1 month, house insurance the other, and it took, say, an hour or so to get it all written down, but it's a really good help. Not that I ever get the birthday cards there ahead of time, but I try to get there on time and I try to get them handmade. Have you ever found yourself outside a yarn shop one random morning, like the Room of Requirement from Harry Potter, and you find yourself a new craft? Have you found yourself at a knitting retreat and found new friends? I was listening to Twin Set Designs episodes this day and they were talking about Susan Dolph's knitting retreat. Oh, it sounded good. They got new friends. Have you ever found something crafty and wonderful in a place that you weren't expecting it? Such as your pals has got a bag of wool she'll never use, insists you have it. Or you're on holiday and you get down and kiss the floor of the craft shop's hidden away up the back street. You found a skein of wool you've been looking for ages on eBay, and it's at a really good price. And have you found your crafting mojo at the bottom of your stash, hidden inside the Madeleine Tosh, where Momo knits, hides hers. But whatever it is you find, have fun with it. Now, if you need a pee stop, because it is time for the Daisy Laugh, we unleashed this in the EasyJet queue at Charles de Gaulle Airport, and it was amazing how many people started giggling without knowing what they were laughing at, and then they turned around and there was grown men giggling away, or just smiling, so it was nice. So here she is. The hello section.
Hello, 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 hello.
A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while and now been with me forever, listeners. I really appreciate you tuning in and I hope you're still enjoying yourselves. A Sandy hello to the new group members are Panad, Ralak71, Susie Cohen, Heidi in the Hills, Crafty Muncher. Random hellos R2, Jelly G, Hootenanny Kratz, Wombat Knitter, Lola Bud, Leafy Dragon. I've not heard from you for a while, actually. How are you doing? Lisa Lynn, hello! And Rabies on My Shoe, who I annoy on Twitter quite regularly.
Needles and pins.
Needles and pins. Crochet hooks this week. I had cause to crochet some Mickey Mouse ears, as I've said, and I have a variety of crochet hooks to myself. The one I'm going to talk about this episode is my newest hook, and it is a Clover Soft Touch. It has a single end, which means that there's only one hook on this tool. Yeah, that might mean a lot to everybody, but believe it or not, some crochet hooks can be double-ended, which can be good for having quite a few different sizes in your collection. It is metal, and it's an aluminium and ABS resin. It's a golden orange, and it's 13.5 cm, and it costs about £3.30 plus postage, and I got the information from www.woolwarehouse.co.uk, and that was for a size 4 mm. I like the tip slash hook part of this, you know, the bit where you're actually working off for those that aren't crochet people. Although it's an aluminium, an almost brushed aluminium, which is my nemesis, but it's a smooth kind of material and the yarn slips up and down quite nicely, so you can get into quite a nice rhythm when you're working. It has a wee rustly noise, which is just reminding me of the brushed aluminium, but it can be quite tranquil when you're in the zone of crocheting. The handle itself is plastic, and it's wider where your thumb and your forefinger pinch together. There's an oval rubber grip here, which softens a bit when you grip it, because sometimes I can be quite tense when trying to get the hook into the right place of a pattern, and my teeth are clenching and my grip tightens, but it kind of absorbs it, so I quite like it. And I think maybe if your hand's getting hot and sweaty, but I've not had to use it in the summertime yet, so it's not heavy. Although I think if you were to use it for a big project, something bigger than a shawl, I would want to have breaks from it. I like mine, quite like mine, and it's quite ergonomically, that's not a word really, but it's nice to hold in my hand more than my Littles hooks. They've got metal heads and plastic bodies and have no shaping to them. So, you know, I'm thinking about the difference. I also own a Clover Reflection, which is a plastic hook, which I love as well. It's one of my go-to hooks. I think that these hooks are a lower to middle range quality of tool. They might argue otherwise, but they are a step up from a beginner. Now, I'm not affiliated to Clover or the website I mentioned that this information came from, which I didn't purchase the hook from there, but it was the first one that came up on Google search. So, just so that you know, but I would say that the hook is a step up from a beginner. It's very comfortable for the occasional foray into crochet, but say if you were to do it as your main hobby, then they would be a stepping stone onto the more expensive, such as Addy hooks. While doing a bit of research on the hooks there, I found a great idea for those with such as, of course, ergonomic issues. I was trying to think of some way of saying, you know, like arthritis or hand pain. And it's a DIY easy comfort crochet hook. And it's a wee tutorial to show you how to add a comfy grip to your crochet hook. And it's at www.instructables.com/ID/DIY easy comfort crochet hooks. I'll put the link in the show notes. And you get the pencil grips that you can get in the stationers that the little bairnies use when they're first learning to write, you know? And they've got massively chunky pencils. And it's a rubbery tube that goes over your hook and gives you a better grip. And I know for the likes of the lovely Crochet Star and say Le Crochets, this may be old news for them, but for me, I know what I'm going to look for next time in the 99p shop for my Littles hooks. So that's the Clover Soft Touch Crochet Hook. I would recommend.
Coming up, it's near.
Coming up. The Glasgow ICHF Creative Stitches and Hobbycraft Show is on at the 7th to the 10th of March. And I know that the Great Tapestry of Scotland is going there because they were asking for volunteers to stand on their stand. So if you're going there, none of our lot will be at it, but it'll be very interesting to see for other parts of Scotland. And I think it was Trekkie was telling me somebody she knows that is doing it, so that was quite good. And as I say before, we're not going to the craft show this time because somebody I know is 40. Right, I am, however, going out for steak on his birthday and buying stuff. And also, then later, I'm going to the Edinburgh Yarn Fest on the 16th of March. And I'm staying just north of Perth, taking the train back in and out, which is good for extra knitting times. Just still need to sort out the train times. And it would be nice to meet you up. And I'm told that there's plenty of room in the cafe area and they've ordered in lots of cake. And that's a Mrs. Brown. So, Beth Hall, Karina Westerman, Knitspin Cake, Charmin Lochie, I believe, will be people I will be hunting down and saying, I know you on the internet, therefore you must speak to me. So please introduce yourself. Plus there's cake. Now, if you want to find out, please go to www.edinyarnfest.com. And they revealed a few more stall holders recently. And I said some of these before, but I'm reading the one from directly after Susan Crawford, because remember I mentioned her. So we have all the ones previously to Susan Crawford. Then we've got Strathern Fleece and Fibre. She has an interview on the website. Crafty Alley Bags. The Border Mill. Woolfish. Owl Print Panda. I love her blog. Go check it out. Fibre Forager. Cairngorm Bags. This is Charmin Lochie's mammy, apparently. Wool Rush. Flight Weaving. Alpaca Loft. The Woolly Brew. The Yarn Yard. Yes. Porcino and Button. So, there you go. It's fast approaching. It's not expensive to get in. I think it's only about £2 at the door. So if you're in Edinburgh or you have any cause to be around Edinburgh, go and meet me.
The swap section.
Swap. Spago has had a brilliant idea, if you've not heard before. She suggested that we all send a copy of the recipe and her son, who is the wonderful one, will collate them into a PDF pile and we can all have a copy of it. Now, we were wondering about copyrights from people's recipes, such as, see, you've thought of, oh, the Jamie Oliver recipe for tandoori chicken is wonderful. So, if you have put on, this is the Jamie Oliver recipe for tandoori chicken, we thought it's best not to put it into the PDF on account of Jamie Oliver wrote it and it's his copyright and Ravelry copyright, you know, quite big on that issue. So, if you were happy to give it to Spadejo and it was a family recipe and you don't mind sharing it, that's cool. I just thought that was a bit fairer. She left it up to me. I just thought that was the fairest. There we go, la 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 la. But then I thought we could distribute it from Ravelry and then thought we need a pattern on it because if you're in Ravelry, so I thought, well, a dishcloth with a thistle design on it. I have not sorted the script out very well here, have I? So I've designed one. I got out the graph paper and I've written you a pattern. I finished it last night and there is a photo on Ravelry and Flickr. And it's actually in black and white to show up the pattern, but the actual dishcloth is in a variegated colour. Please send your copy of your recipe to Spadejo on Ravelry, stating whether it is or isn't from a recipe book or if it's a family recipe because of the copyright. I never even contemplated thinking about that before, so well done Spadejo for thinking about that. Mine is late. And it was waiting on the thistle dishcloth, and it will be posted this week. And I'll type up the pattern and the pictorial pattern on Excel, I think. Because if any of you normal designers out there that do charts can tell me of a wee app or program that I would already have on my computer, because I don't really want to pay for a new one, please let me know. I did find the writing up of the pattern not much fun. Maybe it was because it was deadline and knowing I'm so late with this. But it's not really a field I'm going to go into anytime soon. That's why I don't want to buy a new program. You designers are not having any competition for me anytime soon, okay? Do you want to have another swap? Or will we leave it a whiley? Oh, the swap pictures have been immense. There's been some lovely, lovely stuff being swapped over. I've loved looking at them. I've put up my picture of what I got from Spadejo. Very nice. She sent a green in the picture of a wind turbine dishcloth. How cool was that? Richard was just delighted with that. The Burns got a couple of sweeties and the recipe for cookies, and it was a very special recipe for her and various other bits and pieces that I thank you so much for, Spadejo. Yours honestly will be posted this week. I feel so bad. Right, the next swap, do we want to have one or are we going to leave it for a whiley? I need the answers on the postcard because Whitby One has sent me a postcard, sort of, through Ravelry. It's not a postcard, but it was a message. And she suggested that she was thinking of potholders might be good for the next swap. And there was some on Simply Crochet, and the photo on the front page, and they had a whole pile of designs for potholders. And believe me, there's loads of potholder designs on Ravelry. So you can just quite quickly lash one up. You could use it as a, I want to learn how to crochet a circle properly for doing Mickey Mouse ears. Oh no, it's too late for that. Can you let me know if you want a new swap, say the end of March? I'm not bothered with either way.
The beaker section.
Me, me, me section. I'm still in the Robin Ulrich Boss Cat, and I'm using Rowan Creative Worsted Weight in a cappuccino colour, which is dark brown to you and me. And I'm still on the second pattern repeat. Well, with the Mickey Mouse hats, being away, coming back, got cold, trying to catch up with the thistle dishcloth, then it was Santa's birthday, and here we are again recording. I'm actually really looking forward to being able to get down and finishing it this week, at the same time as posting package. Did I mention last episode? No, I never. I finished with a lot of help from my mum my woolen suit that I had been making for a little while, and I wore it to the conference in Aberdeen, and I still can't believe I never said. It was dark grey wool material which was bought from Mandor's fabric store back in August, and it was £20 for a metre, and I had 2 metres, and I made a jacket and a skirt, so I thought that was pretty good. And I wanted it lined because it was woolen fabric and something that's going to irritate my skin. So I bought lilac linen material from Elizabeth's craft shop in Thurso, which came in about £3 or something. So it was not a bad price for a suit. The skirt was a straight and it was came below the knee and it was that length with a ruffle at the back, which was a pain to hem because you've got to keep it flat. The material was on a curve and I found it all pretty hard. Both items. Mum said it was good learning, but I want to go back to something really basic again. So a tunic next. I'm hoping to do that Amy Butler's Liverpool tunic, but I need 3 metres of Amy Butler fabric. I haven't, but I will get some. You need so much because you're matching up and it's a great big pattern, so this is why you need 3 metres. I think you can actually do it with just under 2, which I have 2 upstairs, but I'm wanting Amy Butler stuff, aren't I? Yeah. If you are doing a garment that requires lining, you get to make the outer garment and you think, oh, pretty much done that. Then you get to make the garment all over again, but inside out. And I ended up putting the split for the skirt on the front instead of the back. But then it became shorter, so it didn't matter anyway. And I got kind of confused with it inside out, and then I got the zip on the wrong side of the back. Oh, yes. So my top tip is, learn to think inside out and back to front quite a lot. I have to stand there and do hand movements. No. So in podcaster news, I'm not sure if I've mentioned this before. I keep meaning to and then thinking I haven't. I'm not sure, but I want to make sure I have this time. I am listening to Craftlit, amongst lots of other podcasts, who is Heather or Dover, and I'm absolutely addicted to it just now because she's doing Jane Eyre. Who here's read it? Right. Who here's seen the film? Who here thinks they've read it? Who here thinks they've seen the film? Yeah. It's one of them that you think you've seen or you think you've read, but I haven't. And I know I have seen it, but it was a long time ago and we didn't actually do Jane Eyre at school. I like Craftlit as a rule and I loved her Dracula one, but sometimes if I don't like the book that she's doing, I kind of dip in and out of her. But the Jane Eyre, oh, she's I love the way Heather tells you the literally meanings behind the books. Why does? I mean, someone reads a chapter out, an episode, and it's kind of like an audio book over various episodes. And then Heather tells you, before it happens, what's pertinent to the chapter. Say, there's smelling salts was mentioned this episode, and what exactly are smelling salts, and why then you need to know this. And then she talks about muslin dresses and why a muslin dress is important, stuff that we take for granted but at the time not so much. Once you've listened to the chapter, she would go into why did Rochester do X and why did Jane do Y, and I just love the way she explains it. Imagine having her as your English teacher. I think I've gotten an A. Oh no, hold on, I got a B. Miss Campbell was pretty good too.
The Caithness
segment. Caithness segment. I have another drive here, and this is the Thurso to May, on the A836 along the north coast of Scotland. And this is the second segment, which starts from me leaving Castletown. So we're starting to speed up again, and now we're going to come along the links at the back of Dunnet Beach. On my right-hand side, there are fields with sheep in, and that road that I've just passed is a back road to Thurdestoft Farm and also Thurdestoft Airport, which is not actually an airport. It was a dummy airport runway back in the war, so there's still quite a lot of old buildings there. And back in my day, they used to have barn dances there. Thurdestoft was always the best one. I had many a night there. I had to walk back to Castletown, which was 2 miles, to get a taxi from calling from the phone box, which I don't think is there anymore. So we're running behind the dunes at Dunnet Beach, and Dunnet Beach is spectacular. I urge you, if you ever come to Caithness, to go visit it and have a walk along its beautiful sandy shores. There are some rock pools up the north of it, but most of it is sand, and they have some sand dunes as well. Dunnet, I did look up a long time ago what it meant, and dun means something. Do you know what? I don't know what it is. But on my right hand side, there are massively big fields, and it's from the links, and it floods, and it's not the greatest of land for arable farming, but they feed the cows on it, and they're Aberdeen Angus cows, and that's the ones that the butcher in Castletown takes, so I know exactly where my meat's come from. And we're now passing the Dunnet Forest Walks car park, and it's really nice. You've heard me talk about it quite a lot before. There's a blue tractor, a nice trailer going past, so I can understand it's quite a arable farmy kind of area that I am driving through. And Dunnet Forest Trust, it's owned by a trust. It's not a forest really, it's only 2 square miles of wood, but it's very well managed, looked after. They have a forester that works there pretty much full time. And I'm coming around the corner, coming into the village of Dunnet, where I used to live whilst we were building our house. I've just passed the caravan site, which is lovely, and you can get right onto the beach from there. And Seadrift Centre, which is run by the Highland Council Rangers, and there's some very interesting stuff in there of whale bones and all sorts of things from Caithness natural history. They've got little stuffed animals in there, and it's quite good for little kiddies as well, so the bairns have all been in there. So we're just going into the village of Dunnet, and we're passing the Northern Sands Hotel and the Britannia Village Hall, and also the red phone box, which still has a phone book in it. You don't see that very often. Sadly, the door's been yanked off at some point recently, and it's not been replaced, but it's quite nice to see it. And there is, as we come out of Dunnet, it's not a very big place, the Haygarth and Son Gunmakers, where he sells guns. It is an arable and a farming community, so that's why. But we have different gun control laws, and they're very strict, which I'm happy about. I'm not anti-gun. I would like to point it out, I am not anti-gun. I am gun control pro. As long as your control is proper, then I am happy. Now, coming out of there on that rant, which I'll probably edit out, we are going past a little loch called St. John's Loch, and you can buy fishing rights to it and go and fish for brown trout on that in the summertime. It's very well stocked and managed, and also there's a bird hide on the far off side, which is lovely bird hide to go and hide in and look at all the different birds that come. And they've got geese and arctic terns, and it's got some lovely information inside. So we are still heading east, and we're coming past the bane of my life, the Barrack phone exchange. Yeah, upgrade. No, I don't think so. And there's lots and lots of farms around me, some houses on either side, standalone houses, and this is now Coursebach Cemetery. And I'm coming up to the junction for where the school is, just off of half a mile away from the school. And up on the top of the hill is a place called Barrack. And you get a fantastic view from up there. And as we drive further east, there's more sheep in the field. I think these are Cheviots. And I know that's Ral Mackay's farm, so I think they are. But in the distance I can see Stroma and Pentland Firth. This sky today is quite interesting. I'll not be taking photographs just now. I'm hoping to take photographs tomorrow because, as you can imagine, I'm driving. And I'm driving by myself today, so there's nobody here to take the photographs as we go. But I can see 2 miles one way, 3 miles in front of me, 15 miles to the top of the Orkney island of Hoy, and 1.5 miles behind me. So I've got a really good vista just now. And when I say behind me, I'm looking in my rear view mirror, and I forgot to mention the big estate house on the top of Dunnet Head. It's a big white building and it's quite a landmark, so you can see it from mostly anywhere you can see Dunnet Head. So we're driving along further towards May, and we are now coming over the moss, and there's a few plantation pine trees on my right hand side, and we're doing quite a nasty dog leg turn, so if you're ever coming into the village of May, slow down to 40. On my left hand side, about a mile down, I can see the Loch of May, and it's a nice loch as well, as there's another bird hide there too. Now this is quite a wild kind of bit in between villages, because there's an owl that hunts here regularly. There's a lot of deer and pheasant and animals that kind of go back and forward, because further inland is quite wild as well. There's not much to it. So that's it. We're now in the village of May and home again. So I hope you enjoyed that.
Dale, did you enjoy that? And it was a beautiful sunny day. I've not managed to get the photographs yet that I've promised you, because every time I've been as a passenger, it's been dark, and I don't think you really need to see lots of pictures of black. So I will endeavour to get the photographs some point soon, but it has to be me being a passenger during the day. Although I was thinking I could maybe get Daisy to do it yesterday, and then thought better of it. No. So now, the name Dunnet is actually derived from the Gaelic dun, which is signifying hill. And the things I should look up before I did the recording, but then I haven't, and I probably would have forgotten. Drams. On to the drams this episode. And if you're not into the drinking, thanks for listening, and I'll catch with you next episode, because there's only blah 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 stuff after this. For the rest of you, this is a Speyburn single malt.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Welcome into this episode's drams, and it is a Speyburn
Braden Orach.
Thank you, Richard. Which is a single malt Scotch whiskey. So pass the bottle and the tub. This came with a tin.
What does Braden Orach mean?
Golden salmon.
Golden salmon in Gaelic.
Get me.
Even though Murray's not a Gaelic speaking area.
But you know why?
Why?
Because the owner of the distillery was the owner of the Tobermory on Mull.
Is that right?
Yes, I've just read it on the website. I've done homework.
This comes courtesy of my mate James Innes, who has Oust Farm, and he gave us it for Christmas because I did some work on a wee wind turbine for him.
Not very wee, it's quite big. So we have a cylindrical tub, and it's quite light bronze. Is that light bronze?
I would say it's kind of a golden copper.
Oh yeah, then, yeah, and it's
bronze, quite maybe. Talking alloys. Ow.
And it is got a cream overlay, one third on it. It's got a picture of the distillery, which they think is one of the most picturesque distilleries in the world.
I've never been.
No. And it is from the Speyburn Distillery, Rothes, Murrayshire. And I think we passed the sign the other day.
We did, but we didn't go anywhere near Rothes.
No, we didn't. I saw the sign for Rothes. It's kind of funny because we drove to Aberdeen and going through Murrayshire, all we could see was distillery here, and distillery the there, Glen Isla, Ben Roma.
had that. No, need that one.
Need
try
to
that
do that one.
No, need no.
That one.
No, yeah. Seen that one.
And then my uncle lives literally round a corner. You can see the Glenmurray whiskey.
In Elgin.
How cool is that? I thought it didn't actually bring it up in conversation.
I think we'll be visiting Uncle Sutherland again soon.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And at the Elaine.
We'll just roll home from that one. So, this is established in 1897 and it has a 70 centilitre bottle. Get me, I know this. And it's 40% volume. Obviously, drinkaware.co.uk. And Speyburn encourages you to savour this fine single malt responsibly.
Of course. And 1897, why was that a special year for the first cask to be...
I did find that out. It's to mark the Diamond Jubilee of Queen Victoria. And they defied the odds to make sure that the first cask was filled in this year by trumping through the snow the night before the bells.
The last day of the year.
Yeah.
Working through a blizzard.
Wow, poor aim. So they have... It's a classic Speyside single malt. And shall we talk about the bottle now?
Yes. So there you go.
The bottle itself is kind of a manly kind of shape, if you think of Superman.
Tall and slim. Broad shoulders.
Yeah, and he's got a waist.
I think it's kind of the shape of a bottle you would find on a shelf in a bar in a saloon selling fancy liqueurs. It's just an oldie worldy kind of bottle shape.
You thought it was more of a liqueur bottle, didn't you? Because it's thinner than a normal. Well, no, we defy normal.
Normal, boring.
Yeah. So the label on it is taken from the tin. It's pretty much the same information and look. It's cream on golden copper with a lovely salmon picture because it's Speyburn, which is on the River Spey, which is a famous salmon fishing river. And on the very top of the cork, there is a little embossed salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, it's not
Salmo Salah.
Get out of my bottle, salmon. And it says established 1897 on its shoulder. I like to think that's the bottle shoulder. I don't necessarily know that's the right technical
term. It's got broad shoulders if you're tapping on it.
It sure does. So.
Right, well, well it's a clear bottle, but we'll pour it and talk about the colour, shall we?
Yes, we shall. Cork.
Now, we've had a wee drama this already, actually, has to be said. It's a little quiet one.
Yeah.
Strong and silent.
Right, well, give it a pour. Oh. That'll do. Right, so he's poured
me... A wee squeak
when it goes back in. Now, I've swirled it round the glass and it's taking its time coming down, which means it's got a good whisky quality and high alcohol content in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Highland Park says the longer it takes to come down the glass, the better a malt it is. Colour.
I'm definitely thinking that's a fresh out the bath Winnie the Pooh.
Exactly.
It's a fine clean colour.
Golden amber colour it's described as.
Fine look colour.
Now, sniff.
No, I don't find that smell very distinctive at all, but...
I'm not so keen.
I'm getting a little smell of kind of sweetness here. And
it's a Bourbon cask.
Bourbon, but I'm getting, like, the apples-y fruit kind of smell about.
Yeah, they do suggest that there's a golden apple taste
it. You know the smell you get when you've for whatever reason, you've chopped up apples and you let them sit there for maybe a couple of hours and they get that kind of smell to them.
Yes.
Like they could go kind of brownie.
Yes.
No, not like offer him, but he's kind of the colour. They go, that's the smell I'm getting.
Okay, so can I have some water in mine, please?
Certainly.
That'll do. And we put the water in to release the alcohol blast off of it, which lowers the alcohol content, and to release the tasting of the whiskey for newer listeners.
Of course you do.
No, apologise for newer listeners. Somebody asked me recently and I thought, did they not know that? But
well, you can't assume anything.
No, assume nothing. Right, stands for that.
Stands for that.
Now that tastes to me like the tasting of whiskey I didn't like when I was a child.
That to me is just lovely. I can, it's again one of the few whiskies that I can really pick out the specific flavours.
I can say that.
And tastes.
But this is why I'm not a Speyburn whiskey taster. I prefer a West Coast or Highland whiskey because it's got peat in it. And I think I like the peat. Or a burny kind of taste.
The first taste I'm getting at apples and a kind of a woody taste. Mm-hmm. I think that's the bourbon. And then the lingering kind of taste. And if I can hold it in the back of my tongue, I get a kind of honey, come vanilla, floral kind of flavour to it, the lingering aftertaste. It's very, very rarely that I get to actually
pinpoint
the flavours, but this is one of them. I find the smell non-distinctive, non-specific, but the flavour I get.
For all I like the look of the bottle, I don't like the taste of the whiskey.
I like it.
You know, I'm not a negative person, and things on the podcast, I do try to find out the positive and everything.
But you're not liking it.
It's not my flavour, taste. Because I'm not a big...
It's okay. It's not going to go to waste.
No. That's why. However. So, anyway. Not to say that you shouldn't buy it and taste it yourself. I definitely think everybody should taste everything.
Or you could go and fix someone's wind turbine and hopefully they'll give you a bottle as well.
Well, that worked. And if you don't like it, pass it on to Richard because he's quite happy about it.
I do like it. I think it's kind of like... You're on about the West Coast, like the... The Laphroaig or something like that, that's got a very distinctive smell and taste to it. And this is nowhere near as strong a distinctive taste, but this is probably
it
could be the Speyburn equivalent of the Island. Well,
the Speyside whiskies.
I've never had it before, well, apart from this bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
There's not much less, listeners. So, Richard, who would you have come into your drabs tonight and why?
Oh, right, well, first of all, I would be honoured, and I would not tire of shaking his hand, would be Muhammad Ali or Cassius Clay.
Good choice.
Because I just think, for what he's achieved, under the circumstances he's achieved him, I think he's just a man of honour, and he's obviously, in his time and in his day, a fantastic athlete, and he's always just been held in high regard by myself, and he's got a lot of dignity about him as well.
Mm-hmm. He definitely changed things and he strived for change. But I think kind of some people didn't like him, some people loved him. I think you put respect what he did.
Yeah, he's Marmite.
Yeah.
He's like a lot of people.
Sure, a lot of people say about.
I think him and likes Roger Daltrey, I think they are what you see. They're
genuine.
There's no two faces to him, whereas a lot of particularly celebrities these days, what you see in the image and the kind of personality you see in the telly or read about is far, far removed from the actual person.
Mm-hmm. So who else would you have?
Well, I'll just call him over.
Huh?
Hello, Darth.
Oh, don't think I'd like you to have him.
And I'm Darth Vader. I'd just like to find out what he's all about.
Oh my goodness. We went to the Star Wars exhibition in Edinburgh years ago, didn't we? Uh-huh. Just after episode 1 was made. And they had the pod racers. And they had the suit of Darth Vader in this darkened little sidey bit. And they had that breathing noise going the whole time. And I actually was a little bit too scared to go in.
This is a fine vault, my young Padawan.
Do you reckon he would drink?
I have to go, the force is calling me.
See you later, Darth. Well, he didn't get a chance to drink that drink, did he?
Well, he probably used the force.
What'd he be like with a hangover? He'd go about destroying planets.
Oh, no.
Anyway, just a bit of a joke one there. I think I would be happy with Muhammad Ali.
Perfect. Right, well.
How about yourself? Who would you have?
I don't know. Who would I have this week? I hadn't thought of one.
Off the top of your head.
Ewan McGregor, to talk about his work in UNICEF,
mm-hmm.
because he's doing quite a good fundraising for the children of Syria just now.
I think he'd be an interesting guy to sit down and have a chat with.
I think he would like a wee dram.
I think he'd like a wee dram. And I think, although he's a complete lovey, or he comes over as a complete lovey, I think if he went out and dug the garden, I think even though he'd probably break himself in about 5 minutes, I still think he would actually muck in and try and have a shot. And that, to me, stands a lot of credibility. But that's just...
You're not allowed to like him because I like him.
I don't dislike him. I've got... I don't know him, I've never met him. He wouldn't be my first choice.
You don't have to have an opinion about him.
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor. I'd like to just sit and look at him. And I would like to hear his UNICEF stuff.
Do you not think he'd be getting a bit creeped out when you're just sitting there looking at him?
Yes, very much so.
He'd be like, Richard, would you kindly ask your wife to stop staring at me? Can't help it, Ewan. She's invited you around here just to look at you.
No, I want him to drink some Speyburn 10, Braden Urich, so I don't have to.
Would you lace it with anything?
No, he could just drink it as it is. So
I'm starting to get a bit worried here. I think if Ewan listens to this, he'd be very worried.
No, Ewan is very happily married, and I like to see that one. When he did that long re-round programmes with him and Charlie going off.
He missed his wife.
He did, and it was just lovely. So you could tell that he was happily married. Oh. At the time, hopefully he still is. I don't know. I've not looked up to see the gossip because I don't really follow it. But I just think that he's a...
Well, if I think there's any problem, I'll just get my mate Darth to chop him up with a lightsaber. Force choke him.
Oh, dear. Hey, hold on a minute. Ewan played Obi-Wan.
This matter.
Darth killed Ewan. Maybe we shouldn't have these at the same time.
I've got Darth Vader and Cass the Mass in my team.
Oh, right. Well, maybe I'm just not having anybody this week so they don't have to drink that Speyburn.
That was a bit of silliness.
Well, I just didn't think quick enough. Right, Slangevar.
Slangevar. And who, you've not said who we're dedicating this episode to?
Oh, sorry. This episode of the Drams is dedicated to Thistle Ridge Farm, who asked about a Speyburn quite a few episodes back. And then, lo and behold, we got a bottle for Christmas. So this one is for you.
Slangevar, Thistle and Ridge Farm.
Richard would recommend it. I would if you want to taste it, but it's not to my taste.
You would get a little miniature, wouldn't you, to pass on?
Yes.
Whereas I'd happily sip away in this bottle.
I'd happily give it away.
All night. Uh-huh. Which might actually happen now.
Yeah, because I've got editing to do. So.
And I've got
get off, it's 15 minutes, so shushed. Oichiva. Thank you to James for supplying it and sponsoring this episode. He has no idea either, because I never told him. I would like to hear who you would like to have around for a dram this week. And it does sound terribly creepy of me, so you know, I'd just like to stare at Ewan McGregor. Terribly creepy. But I do reckon he would be lovely to speak to and just have so many stories, and his wife would... I would have the family around and then I would just stare at her and the bairns. And I'm not convincing you, am I right? Anyway, blah, blah, blah section. Maybe I'll just not invite him.
Blah, 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 blah.
Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me. And my email address is cavenesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I am on Twitter, Pinterest and Facebook as cavenesscraft. And you can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or via the Podbean site, which is www.cavenesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photographs are down the right hand side. If you have any problems with the Podbean, please let me know. We also will have a list of the drams covered there at some point soon. Forget about that for a while. You're back in the room. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.